Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. My name, as always, is Zachary Smith, here to host once again for another edition of NXT. As I say every week, you can always find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT, that's ZachNXT. Now, we have a pretty interesting NXT to talk about in the wake of TakeOver 30. And as this is the first time I'll be talking to you since it happened, a lot of interesting things happened at TakeOver 30. So we had our main event of Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross. Now, a lot of people felt underwhelmed by that match and like they maybe didn't have the chemistry or maybe just didn't have the match that maybe you would have expected from these two. It was kind of a lot of build-up for what ended up being a disappointing match, unfortunately. And then we found out that likely a big contributing factor to that was the fact that just about halfway through the match on just a tackle that Karrion Kross came down wrong on the mat and injured his shoulder. And we got reports that it was a separated shoulder and that he was going to have it looked at and get, an MRI. And we were kind of going to go from there. So we're going to find out more about that actually very early in this episode here on NXT. I have been critical of the Karrion Kross character here in NXT. I've said a lot that he doesn't feel like a monster. He feels like a guy who is trying to portray himself as a monster who isn't. And I never have connected with the cryptic messaging or the TikTok or anything like that. But on the surface level, Karrion Kross is a person who came to NXT with Scarlett and found success very early, be that his look or his gimmick or his intensity or everything, probably. And he, pardon me, he overcame and very quickly won the NXT title. That doesn't generally happen like that. It doesn't usually come that quickly. But Karrion Kross got to the top of the mountain, and he did it in what seems like record time, and that is something to be looked at in a positive light. That is something to be championed. And it sincerely sucks that in his championship match, he gets injured. He guts it out and he finishes the match, which is always something that WWE loves. And he won the NXT championship. And much like Finn Balor, with just about the same injury, when Finn Balor won the Universal title at SummerSlam against Seth Rollins, and then the next night on Raw had to relinquish the title. And this reminded me a lot of that, from the timing, from the arm sling, from everything. And again, just because you may or may not connect with a character, I certainly do connect with the man and the fact that he reached what had to have been a dream or a goal of his, and in the midst of doing that, got injured and had to have that taken away from him. So we have a situation now where we don't have an NXT champion. And that gets addressed in this show as well, and they're trying to make the best of a bad situation, and all we can do is wish Karrion Kross a very speedy recovery and hope that he comes back even better than he already was. Because at the heart of it, Karrion Kross is a person, and I would never think or say or intimate in any way that him being injured is a good thing or a positive or anything like that. It's a man who won the NXT title and had that taken away from him just as quickly as it happened. And in the vein of championships, we finally have a North American champion in Damian Priest. He won that ladder match. Again, a lot of people were nervous that the Velveteen Dream was going to win. It was already weird, that match, just because he was in it, and it was a bit awkward to watch. But if he had won, that would have just made it even so much worse. So that's certainly good. Damian Priest has been around at NXT for a while now, and he's gotten opportunities and hasn't been able to capitalize on them. And now he finally has. He's made good on his word, and he now is your North American champion. Now, I don't know where we're going to go from here with Damian Priest. Obviously, he is a face now, and maybe one of the people that don't win that NXT title next week will be starting a program with Damian Priest. We'll have to see, but I'm excited to see where we go. I personally thought it might be Bronson Reed that was going to win up until the week before, when he was the last man standing and holding the NXT North American title, which in WWE parlance generally means you're not going to win the title. They don't let you hold the title at the end and win the title. That's not really how that works. Io Shirai successfully defended her title against Dakota Kai. I mean, we all knew that it was going to be Io Shirai winning. That wasn't going to be in doubt in any way, shape, or form. Nor should it have been, really. But it is good to see Io Shirai working with people and getting people over without losing. This is something that they were trying to do, kind of, with Charlotte Flair when she was NXT Women's Champion. And in a perfect world, that's what they would have done with her title reign, but it simply isn't. It was Charlotte Flair is here, and all the other women are lower than that. And with Io Shirai, she feels like a bad-to-the-bone champion. She feels important, but she feels like she's making the entire women's division more important and making everybody step up their game. And that is perfect, and that's what you need in a champion. Obviously, Io Shirai wins, and then Raquel Gonzalez attacks her outside the ring, and then Rhea Ripley comes out and makes the save, but at the end we get a shot of Io Shirai celebrating in the ring, but Rhea Ripley staring her down. So it seems like we may be headed for Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai. That's going to be interesting, because it still feels like you could absolutely keep going with Io Shirai, and perhaps you should, but it also feels like Rhea Ripley should probably win the next time she challenges for the title. It would feel a bit odd if she lost again. She's the one that took the pin in that triple threat match, because heaven forbid we have her pin Charlotte Flair. But it'll be interesting to see how we're going to set that up. Both of them are in action later tonight, so we'll get a chance to talk about that. Maybe the thing that everybody was talking about the most was the surprising debut of Adam Cole versus our debuting Pat McAfee. Now, I've said before, I was not a fan of the way that they set this match up, but what I am is a huge fan of Pat McAfee. And I know that he loves wrestling. He's always been a great ambassador to wrestling and bringing it more into the mainstream. He's a great commentator, and as it turns out, he's a pretty dang good wrestler as well. He's a great promo. You figured he would be, as good as he is at talking, at basically being a huge chunk of his job.
Listen up. He's finally here. You hear that? Shh. He has taste, he has drip, and he definitely has zing. Who is he? Listen. He goes by MKU630, that's MKU630, with his new mixtape, Tommy Gang, out now. Please go on his YouTube channel and subscribe, comment, like, and share. Are you there yet? YouTube, MKU630, that's YouTube, MKU630, MKU630.
eat breakfast. Ain't gon' say shit. Hey, niggas ain't shit.
But he really came across as a great heel, which is, I imagine, very difficult to do, especially in your, what, second match ever? He got in really good shape. He was certainly blown up in the match, but that's certainly to be expected in your second match. Everybody who wrestles says that the only way to prepare for a wrestling match is wrestling. No matter how much cardio you do, it doesn't matter. Ring shape is a completely separate thing. But Adam Cole put on a great match with Pat McAfee, and Pat McAfee had some great spots. He had a dive to the outside. He quite literally backflipped off the top rope, landed on his feet, and then ran to the corner and jumped up onto the top rope in one jump. I did not think... I knew Pat McAfee was that athletic. I did not know he was that athletic. That's not even something I would try. I wonder how it even occurred to him to even try to do that. But holy hell, Pat McAfee was impressive. And he was talking on his podcast, and people were asking if he was going to continue wrestling. And he basically said that a lot of people texted him and said, hey, thank you for what you did there. And he said he doesn't know. He said this is always something that he was interested in. It was always his intention to get into the ring. And he has, you know, 10 million things going on, but it's definitely something where he doesn't know. And I think by virtue of him not ruling it out immediately, I think that we will see Pat in the ring again. I don't know when that's going to be, but I definitely think it seems like wrestling is one of those things when if you really love it and then you get a chance to get in the ring, it's kind of a bug that bites you. It's the same thing that happened to Ronda Rousey. She was getting started and then didn't want to leave. She loved it. And so Pat McAfee had a fantastic debut, better than it had any right to be. And here we are. And hopefully we can see more of Pat in the future, because I think he's going to bring a lot to wrestling, even if he just kind of does the Brock Lesnar thing and only wrestles every so often. I'm absolutely good with that. I think he could add a lot, and I'm very, very excited to see what he does in wrestling kind of going forward. So we had a very good TakeOver 30, and we had a lot of storylines to clean up afterward, obviously, and we got kind of a head start on that. So let's get it started. NXT starts with a recap of TakeOver 30 from Saturday. Finn Balor's 12th TakeOver win, which is very impressive, and I knew that fact, but had forgotten it until I heard it. And we cut from that recap to Scarlett coming out for Karrion Kross's entrance. Karrion Kross is wearing a suit, he has the title around his waist, and he's wearing an arm sling on his right arm. Looks like that injury is as bad as we thought, unfortunately. I always hate these segments, whether it's Finn on Raw with the Universal title, also with an arm sling, or this one. It just always sucks for everybody, especially the person that just won the title. You really feel for them. Karrion Kross, as I told you again and again, that I would become the NXT champion. I warned you that on the way, there would be suffering. At TakeOver 30, I kept good on my word when I ripped the NXT title off of Keith Lee's carcass. But one should know that when you go to war, you should expect casualties on both sides. That's a bar. That's a bar is what that is. So my shoulder separated. I'm in searing pain, but I love it. It brings me life. He said, but I am a realist. I understand the reality of the situation. There's no way they'll let me defend the NXT title in this condition. So, he takes the title from Scarlett. He says, for me, the obstacles are the path. And he puts the title down. There's a spotlight on it with the smoke that's still in the ring. Looks very cool. And Scarlett puts the hourglass behind the title. He says, let this be a warning. This changes absolutely nothing. Doomsday is still coming, and God help the obstacles that will be in my path. Tick tock. Scarlett turns over the hourglass, and they leave the ring, and they walk up the ramp. Scarlett touches Karrion Kross's logo on the Titantron, and it begins, like, burning. So there's, like, a flame on the Titantron now, still in the shape of that logo. and we cut away from it with Karrion Kross after Scarlett leaves for just a couple seconds, standing in the entrance ramp just looking at the title. And it's at that point where you could really see how much this sucks for him. He did a very good job, as Scarlett did, of just staying in their characters and handling it like their characters would have. And I give them both a lot of credit for that, because that has to be insanely difficult to do. But it was right there, and I think this is actually a good thing. It kind of humanizes him a bit without taking away anything. It really took down the walls and the layers, and it was, for just a second, it was just a guy who was the NXT champion and had to give it up. And man, this sucks. And you could see it on his face for just a moment before he walks off. And I feel for him more than I have for anything that he's done so far, just in that one moment. And we hear Beth Phoenix and Vic Joseph discussing. We cut to a camera shot, and Wade Barrett is back! Wade Barrett is here. And boy, oh boy, is it exciting. Wade Barrett says, "As someone who has had to relinquish a title for the exact same injury, my heart goes out to Kross." Love the insight there. I had forgotten that Wade Barrett had that same injury. I think it helps when the announcers, or at least one of them, in this case two with Beth Phoenix and Wade Barrett, having been former wrestlers, because you're going to run into a lot of situations where they have more insight than, say, a Vic Joseph, who maybe hasn't experienced that. It really kind of immediately kind of qualified Wade Barrett for me and put credentials on him, just because he had a view that he could share with us, because he's gone through the same thing. Unfortunately, he didn't get a chance to kind of elaborate on that, but that was good insight, and Wade Barrett is great throughout this whole thing. We cut right to Breezango making their entrance for their tag title match against Imperium. Breezango won the opportunity at TakeOver to challenge Imperium for their tag titles this week. It occurs to me at this point that Breezango have won zero titles, I believe, as a team or individually. That is weirdly simultaneously surprising and not at all surprising at the same time. It's weird, because they're both insanely talented, so you would think they would, but based on the characters they had and the lack of seriousness with which those characters were regarded would lead you to believe that that would exactly be the case. So it's a weird kind of two thoughts going on at the same time. Imperium is out next. It feels like they haven't done a lot as tag team champions, but they haven't had much of a chance to. Their last title defense was interrupted by a former NXT champion jawjacking with a former NFL punter. And Breezango attacks Imperium once they get into the ring. It's kind of a different attitude for them. It's more serious now. It's a title match, and kind of the jokes are over. We have a pretty good match, and then one of the members of Imperium come off the top, and Tyler Breeze hits him with a super kick, then hits the other with a super kick. They're both laying on the ground. He tags in Fandango, and Fandango does the top rope leg drop that, man, it feels like he needs to stop doing right now, because Hulk Hogan's back is messed up from doing a leg drop just standing and jumping, much less from the top rope. Please stop doing that. I don't want your back to be mashed potatoes when you're done. It was an okay match. It felt like they didn't have enough time to like really get going. It kind of felt like they had to rush toward that ending. So it's kind of surprising that Breezango won, but there aren't a ton of tag teams that are viable in NXT at the moment. There was that Malcolm Bivens team that we just haven't seen hair or hide of, if I may show my, I guess, Southern colloquialisms for a second. And there just aren't a lot of tag teams. Basically, the tag teams you saw at TakeOver were the tag teams that they are using at the moment. It's weird. NXT usually has pretty strong tag teams, but for some reason at the moment it's kind of thinned out. But I love that Breezango have finally won the tag titles. It is well earned. I generally like to stay away from the term, you know, somebody deserves something, just because that's not how wrestling works. But I think that Breezango have definitely earned this situation, and they've earned this opportunity, and they've earned being tag team champions. And I'm excited that they won, and I'm excited to see what they're going to do with the titles, because they have much more personality than Imperium. That's just the gimmicks are different, and Breezango's more freeing in terms of comedic stuff and getting to show more personality. So we get to see kind of how this unfolds, and I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited. Coming out of commercial, we have Jake Atlas in the ring, and then Tommaso Ciampa's music hits. He's finally back. Great job of having him stay off of TV for a bit to kind of sell the match that he had with Karrion Kross. He basically disappeared after that. We didn't hear anything about him. And then he's only back now. I like it when they do that. Somebody takes a bad beating, they should be off for a bit.
Listen up. He's finally here. You hear that? Shh. He has taste, he has drip, and he definitely has zing. Who is he? Listen. He goes by MKU630. That's MKU630. With his new mixtape, Tommy Gang, out now. Please go on his YouTube channel and subscribe, comment, like, and share. Are you there yet? YouTube, MKU630. That's YouTube, MKU630. MKU630.
Ciampa's wearing like an iron mask with a leather hooded jacket. He looks very menacing, and he looks very cool, and he looks like he's going to fight you real hard. Wade Barrett, it is at this point that I wrote, Wade Barrett is awesome as an announcer, and I would like him to stay, please. Ciampa is in great shape as always. He looks very intense. He's basically beating up Jake Atlas until he hits that apron DDT and Ciampa wins. Kind of sucks for Jake Atlas. He quite literally got nothing in this match. I don't know if there's going to be something once Jake Atlas returns with this. I don't know, but just for the moment, that did nothing for Jake Atlas. Ciampa attacks Jake Atlas outside the ring. He throws him into the hockey boards and then into the steel steps. Ciampa kicks Jake in the head as he's trying to get up, and he kind of does that catapult move, but he has Jake Atlas under the ring, so he slams him into the steel on the bottom. As referees are trying to check on Jake, Ciampa sits on the apron, kind of surveying the scene. He doesn't pat himself on the back, he just is looking on. Boy, it's been a heavy episode so far, huh? It's been bad, gang. Usually when someone is returning, they come back as a face, because just seeing that person usually pops a crowd, and they're just very happy to see that person. It helps in this case that it's the Performance Center crowd, not a quote-unquote real crowd, that went with Ciampa being a heel, because that's what they wanted. I feel like if this had been in front of real people, or rather real fans, or non-Performance Center fans, I feel like they just would have been really happy to see Ciampa back. I think Ciampa would have gotten them with this attack and how long it goes, but I think it definitely helped that they were along for the ride immediately, because I think it's very difficult to return and stay a heel or stay a bad guy. I think the fans make that difficult, but he's able to do it. Ciampa rips Jake Atlas off the stretcher they put him on and DDTs him onto the floor, then sits back on the apron and appears to finally be done killing Jake Atlas. Feel bad for Jake Atlas. I don't know if Jake Atlas needed time off or something. Maybe that's it. Or they just didn't have anybody else. Or maybe there's something on the back end. But for the moment, man, Jake Atlas just got beat up for like 10 minutes. And that seems like it is a suck day at work. And hope he's good. That's all I really got. Raquel Gonzalez Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai versus Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai is going to be tonight. They're both being interviewed, and Dakota Kai says it will be a piece of cake beating them because we are actually a team. They don't even get along. Dakota says, I still deserve to be NXT Women's Champion.
She doesn't.
And she looks forward to the match tonight. And oh my goodness, William Regal is here in person. He's not an iPad screen. He's in the ring with a podium that has the NXT title on it. I'm very excited to see him. I feel like Grandpapa came home for Christmas. He said last Saturday we witnessed an incredible main event.
No, he didn't. Don't lie to me.
He said the cross injury was too severe, and so he had to vacate the title. He said, I feel it is my duty to wish Karrion Kross best wishes on his long recovery. I would agree with that. He said, we have to move on, though, and we have to decide who the new champ will be. And holy crap, for short notice, they came up with a good one. He said, next week, it's actually going to be on Tuesday. They're calling it Super Tuesday. So next week, we're going to have a Fatal 4-Way, but it's going to be a Fatal 4-Way 60-minute Iron Man match, which is the first time I have heard those words and numbers in that order to describe a match. It's going to be Finn Balor, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, and Adam Cole, all former NXT champions. Holy hell, this is going to be a good match, huh, guys? It's going to be a great match. I would like to see it now, please. I'd like to just see it now. If you could just email it to me, I will watch it now, please. Those are the four right people to put in that match. That's a super interesting stipulation. If that match has happened in the history of WWE before, I am just blanking on it because I do not think it has. And that's perfect because it's going to be chaotic but controlled at the same time, because there might not be as constant breakup of pins because it's not one fall to a finish. Just giving these four guys and their super work rate powers free reign for an hour is going to be fantastic. I don't even care if there's anything else on the show. Start with that, end with that. Do like a Lucha Underground where they just have one long match going through the whole show would be so great. Wade Barrett says that he's going to be back next week because he's not going to miss this. So I'm absolutely fine with that. And with our next segment, the Cruiserweight title finally makes it to the Hulu Cut. If you don't know, I always watch the Hulu Cut the next day. So this is generally coming out on Thursday, usually late morning, afternoon. I record it when I get off of my overnight job. And I am only able to get the Hulu Cut, which is shorter, so they have to cut things. And on one hand, that's the version that I have to watch, but on the other hand, it is interesting to see what they cut out of the show, so what they think is important. It's a pretty good gauge of what everybody thinks is important and what they don't, and for better or worse,
for worse,
the Cruiserweight title has not been featured on the Hulu Cut just about at all. And Isaiah Swerve Scott is out first to challenge Santos Escobar for his Cruiserweight title, so I guess we're just going to keep calling him Santos Escobar, and they just want me to forget that's his name, and frankly, they think I'm going to move on, and double frankly, I'm not gonna. I'm going to, anytime I have to say your Cruiserweight champion Santos Escobar, I'm going to talk about how boring that name is. I feel like it's the equivalent of a white dude just being named Chad Johnson is what it feels like. It just kind of feels like you did create a wrestler and you were too lazy to think of a name, so you did like a random name generator, and I will not let this go. So Isaiah Swerve Scott's entrance is really cool, and Isaiah is a great wrestler, he's a really good talker, and he's actually a really good rapper as well. You should check out his stuff. Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza are out here with Santos Escobar. He sends them to the back for the time being. He's a bad guy, they'll be back. I haven't watched this before, but I've been watching wrestling long enough to know. Okay, so this is weird, but stick with me through the whole thing. Promise? Promise. Okay. Swerve's tights don't go all the way down his leg. They don't cover his like ankles and calves. Here's the problem. They're too short to be pants, but they're too long to be shorts. Are you with me still? Good. And he just has knee pads at the end. And I can't explain precisely why it bothers me so much that they're not pants, but they're not shorts. What I can tell you is it just bothers me so much. I either need them to be tights or long tights, or I need them to be short tights or just shorts. But those are like 3/4 pants, and I don't like what it's doing to my eyes and my brain. I don't know why, but stop it. You stop it right now, please. As I said, Swerve is a really good wrestler and a really good talker, and I don't want him to win the Cruiserweight title, because if you win the Cruiserweight title, you are kind of stuck in this middling position. You'll be featured on 205 Live, but a lot of people don't watch it, and you will be featured on NXT, but not as regularly as, say, the North American champion or the NXT champion. And I feel like Santos Escobar has done a really good job as Cruiserweight champion, but he hasn't made the Hulu cut, and his stories aren't generally the most important thing going on. It's just kind of something that feels surface level in terms of feuds. And I don't want Swerve to win the title, because I want Swerve to just be North American champion, please. That's not going to happen because Damian Priest just won it, but I'd like him to be, please. If you could email me the 60-minute Iron Man Fatal 4-Way, and if you could just make Swerve the North American champion, please, that'd be great. That was one of the reasons I didn't like them limping to the finish of the qualifiers for that North American ladder match, because I would have loved to seen Swerve in that match. I don't know that he would have won it, but I think he would have added a lot to it. I think there's a lot more that Swerve can be doing, and through no fault of his own, he's not in that position, and I would really like to see him be, because I think he will knock it out of the park. So they're having an alright match, and then the lackeys come back out and distract Swerve until Breezango run out, that's nice of them, to clear out the lackeys, and they both go to the back. And this is an interesting finish. Escobar's puts his hand on the ropes to stop a 3 count, and then he rolls to the outside, and from under the ring he gets a mask, or I think it was under the ring, and he puts on this like yellow luchador mask and adjusts it, and he headbutts Swerve as Swerve is going to reach for him and gets the 3 count. So that was a loaded mask. It was a weird finish and a shorter match than you'd want, but Escobar retains, and again, please have Swerve challenge for the North America title, please and thank you. Up next is Drake Maverick versus Kyle O'Reilly. Now, when they first popped up this graphic, I thought it was weird, because generally, when a member of the Undisputed Era has to represent the Undisputed Era in a match, it's Roderick Strong. And you'll see why it's Kyle O'Reilly in just a sec. So Kyle O'Reilly's out first with Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish. It occurs to me that I don't think that we've seen O'Reilly in a singles match before. I mean, could be wrong, but I think he's just been in tag matches or supporting Undisputed Era. We get a recap of 2 weeks ago when the Undisputed Era jumped Drake Maverick and Killian Dane mid-match, which sets up Drake Maverick's challenge to any member of the Undisputed Era, and thus this match. So, we're mid-match, and Undisputed Era jumps Drake Maverick. So Kyle O'Reilly actually seems like he doesn't like that. He's basically like, what are you guys doing? Why did you do that? And before that can go any further, Killian Dane runs in, and he's attacking Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong. It's at that point I noticed that Kyle O'Reilly is standing outside the ring, and he looks like he doesn't like that it's happening, but he doesn't look concerned for his Undisputed Era members. He stays out of the ring the whole time. He half-heartedly goes in to get in the ring, but Killian Dane has a chair, and he jumps right back down off the apron. Drake Maverick thanks Killian Dane, but Killian Dane knocks him down and leaves, because he's a rude dude. And this is interesting because, again, I didn't understand why we were putting Kyle O'Reilly in this situation, except that apparently, eventually, we're going to be breaking Kyle O'Reilly off from the Undisputed Era. I did not think that we were going to be doing that. But that's clearly what we were planting seeds of. He was already didn't like that they interfered in the match. He didn't help them when they were getting beaten up. This is how you plant seeds of distrust and eventually break up a team. So I don't know how we're going to end up doing it. But if we get Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly again, except in NXT this time, I am all for it. So it's time for our main event. Our NXT Women's Champion, Io Shirai, is out first. She looks like she's having a great time. Rhea Ripley's out next. She looks like she's also having a good time, but she's mad at you, but you don't know why. And also drives a motorcycle, and it has a lot of spikes on it. Mercedes Martinez and Dakota Kai come in. They look like, I don't know. They look like the computer club kids who like came to a Halloween party with really nice costumes and they're really happy about it. So we're having an all right match, and then Rhea Ripley's on the outside, but Mercedes Martinez from the Robert Stone brand pulls Rhea Ripley off the apron so Io can't tag her in. So we're continuing that story with Mercedes Martinez. Rhea Ripley finally comes in, but she's groggy. She gets a big boot from Raquel Gonzalez and then the over one shoulder power bomb, and Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai win. I mean, that's to be expected. Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley couldn't really work super effectively together. Rhea Ripley told Io to get out at first when the match first started. Io tagged herself in when Rhea didn't want her to. There was some miscommunication, which is fine. That works for me. I'm confused as to whether this means that we're going to insert Raquel and or Dakota Kai and or Mercedes Martinez, or if we're going to kind of get past that to get to the match between Rhea and Io. This is kind of convoluted for me. I don't know what we're doing right this second. And that's fine. Like, I don't need to know everything right now, but it does seem like there's a lot of women in the mix, which is good, but it's kind of unclear at the moment. So, I mean, I'll be interested. Sorry, I keep having to clear my throat coming down with something. I guess we'll just have to wait and see whether, like, Rhea has to go through Mercedes and then Raquel Gonzalez, and then if Io Shirai has to go through Dakota Kai again, or if we're just going to ignore that and just move past it because Io's already beaten Dakota. I don't know. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. And you know what? That's fine. And you know what else was fine was this episode of NXT. Obviously, what they were going to do with this show had to have changed a bit because Karrion Kross got injured again, hoping for a speedy recovery for him. And we got what's going to be a great match next week on Super Tuesday, where we'll have a fatal four-way 60-minute Iron Man match. I keep having to look at my notes to make sure I'm saying that correctly, because that feels so foreign to me because I've never said those words in that order. But next week should be a great show, and unfortunately this show had to kind of act as more of a setup show than I think that they were intending. But we got Ciampa back. We got Swerve. We got a pretty good tag match as our main event. It was one of those things where it's more of a story than a match, which usually for NXT, I like it just the matches, and the match tells a story, but that's okay. You can tell stories like this. So I'll be interested to see what we're going to be doing next, but you can hear me next week reviewing what will assuredly be Super Tuesday. I'm confused as to whether that's going to be longer because it has the word super in it, or if it's just going to be that one match, which would be fine with me. But you'll hear me talk about it no matter what next week. In the meantime, you can again catch me on Twitter. I'm ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT on Twitter. We're always talking about wrestling and fun stuff over there. If you want to hear anything you'd like to hear added, take it away, any topics you'd like covered at the beginning of the show, a lot of those make it into the show. Again, ZACHNXT on Twitter. Otherwise, in the meantime, I have been Zachary Smith. Until next week, you have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.